Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 15, for November 14th, 2006. Jack is a Mac. Everybody, this is Alex, and we are. I think this is the first time MacBreak Weekly has been recorded in the same room. Is it? I don't think we've done this before.
Very first time.
I thought you did it at the Podcast Expo.
That was TWiM.
Oh no, that wasn't TWiM. That was. Didn't you do one in the back room?
Did we do one in the
Maybe
back
room? Maybe that was an
Were you guys wearing tuxes like tonight?
It's all mixed together.
I don't know. It's just it's all this big mush of lots and lots. This is my third podcast in the last 2 days, and so I'm getting kind of confused.
And the quality never flags.
Huh? Actually, the quality went up because we have these new cool microphones.
These mics are really cool.
Oh, man.
I'm going to shoot some video of this, Alex.
Okay. So Merlin. Okay, so just so you know who's here, of course, we've got John Foster.
And this is my very first time on MacBreak Weekly.
This is. This is John Foster's virgin voyage.
Has he been through the smacking machine? Yet?
What we didn't want to talk about this.
Well, you know,
machine.
The thing is that I was one of the guys who did MacBreak Minutes back in the beta alpha pilot of MacBreak.
And he's it's a return.
It's the return.
And it's so the return of John Foster.
Maybe I'll do a MacBreak Minute in the minute, you know, sometime during the episode.
I think that maybe we'll do that. We're threatening to bring MacBreak Minutes back.
We should, because I love doing them.
Well, if people want to have MacBreak Minutes back, and if you don't know what they were like little 1 to 2 minute tips that we would do that would come out every day.
These are the video ones.
They were little video tips.
I think it's a great idea.
So if people like that, they should go up to the forum on TWiT or in the little comment area, and they should tell us that they want it, and then we'll make a decision.
You're going to require people to give us a compliment in order to make the
They need to say, oh, you need to do it. Yeah, yeah. And you have to compliment Merlin on his hair.
Seriously, you guys, you're so great.
So Merlin's here, of course. Leo is not. Leo's in Toronto.
Leo's over,
and he's
if we aimed the camera at Leo, it would be that way.
You know, they can't see the camera though. That's
the problem. But this footage will be somewhere, I'm sure.
Okay, we'll put it up somewhere somewhere special. So also we've got Merlin Mann here. Hey Merlin, and Merlin is moving his camera all over the set. He's handing it to me. Okay, I got it.
Stuff, right? Yeah. How's it going, Alex?
It's going very very well. So what happened here is you may notice that the sound quality is a little bit better than Skype. I mean, you know, possibly. For some of you, you may not like it as much, but
we can still Skype.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People are going to miss the digital clipping. Can you add that? Can you add that in?
Yeah, yeah. No, I can add the.
When Scott's yelling about the iPhone, and he overdrives it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm how do I stop this thing? Hold on.
I'll just hand it back to him.
Jane, how do I stop this crazy?
This is kind of nice. We got these. What happened was is that we've been slowly building up our capacity here and here in the office in San Francisco, and so we got these PR40s that we were using on This Week in Media yesterday. They literally all the stuff showed up. The PR40 showed up like a week ago, and then the rest of the Heil equipment showed up yesterday morning. So there was this mad rush. We were drilling holes and desks and doing all kinds of crazy stuff yesterday, getting ready for This Week in Media, and we shot this, and then I figured Scott was having a little hard time. I mean, Scott was having a hard time. He's down in Ojai, and he's just doing some work down there, so scheduling it was a little more difficult, and the rest of us are here. So I figured...
Taking advantage of these cool microphones.
Exactly.
PR40 is a microphone, if you didn't know.
A PR40. It's a Heil PR40, and they are they're pretty nifty. We got six of them, but we're only using three. I was thinking of giving Merlin two.
Mm-hmm. Oh, then he could be in stereo.
Yeah, yeah. Merlin could just... He could go back and forth.
You could capture my frenetic movement.
Yeah, but I thought that Merlin might need it, you know? So anyway, we've got a bunch of fun news for today. Top of the list, Apple is... setting up a deal to be able to connect your iPod to the AV while you're on a flight. So they've made the deal with a handful of folks here. I'm not sure. Let's see. They have Air France, Continental, Delta, Emirates, KLM, and United to deliver iPod integration. So what do you think? Is that something that you're interested in?
If I flew more often, I happen to be on the no-fly list, so it's difficult for me to get around in the world.
Are you really? You're like John Madden. You've got to have a bus take
well,
you everywhere.
I have to go to the airport extra early so that I can. And the thing is I don't know if it was me that put me on the no-fly list.
Are you being serious?
I'm serious. I don't know if it was me that put me on the no-fly list, but there's everybody who's named John Foster has the exact same problem. Either because
so
of me.
There was some John Foster that's a very bad boy.
It was probably me. I probably left off to the wrong person.
You should get Boing Boing to open up a can of Corey on this.
Exactly.
Find out what the deal is.
Well, you know,
I think it's pretty funny that I'm a threat to my country.
Yeah. I was told by someone in the quote unquote know that it's easy to get you onto the checklist, but it's very almost impossible. They didn't have an apparatus. I know at least in 2002 or 2003, they didn't have an apparatus to actually take you off the list.
Yeah.
You know, there was only a way definitely to add that. You on, and they just didn't bother. So what you never want to do is make someone upset. I'm like, I travel a lot. You know, I fly. I'm in an airport, you know, 2 to 4 times a month. And I'm always the nicest guy, you know, having discussions.
I'm pretty nice now, but it doesn't make any difference.
Now, do you fly a lot?
You know, I fly a fair amount. I'm flying more, and I'll tell you why I'm excited about this, just for my own completely selfish reasons. I finally dropped the cash to get an iPod Video, and something I always imagined I would never get, because it's like, who's going to sit around and watch that? But I love it.
I do.
This makes it even better, and I got to tell you, I also made that decision. So I figured this time around, unlike during the boom, when I was scattering my flying over many flights, carriers, I decided this time, I'm going to pick one carrier. I'm going to try and do the whole mileage thing. And I went with United, and luckily United is one of the people doing this, so I'm very excited.
I know. I'm with US Air, so now I'm...
I've got that thing where you get the upgrade to the extra little seatage, you know.
Are you gold?
No, I've got the thing where like you automatically get upgraded to, you know,
into the first class?
Not into God, no, nothing like that. But where you get the slightly less
economy plus
orthopedic killing. That's exactly right, economy plus. But at any rate, I don't know the details of this. I don't know when this is going to roll out. I don't know if it's going to be in every class. But I think the idea of this is very exciting. And it's what's interesting to me is it's just orthogonally. You're seeing so much more now with airlines where they're going, oh, you know, well, you got to bring your own sandwich and bring your own coffee or blah blah. And I think this is kind of intriguing. Now you can bring your own entertainment.
And you can bring your own movie.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it.
Yeah, someone who has my video iPod, I mean, I can just... There's two places that I really want to be able to connect my video iPod that I haven't been able to. One is in the plane, and the other one is in my stationary bike at my gym. You know, here's the worst part, is that I actually got a hold of the... You know, I go to this kind of a frou-frou gym, and then I'm in the kind of the frou-frou area of the frou-frou gym.
So, economy plus.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's kind of like the first class of working out, you know, because I do enough of it, you know.
They actually ride the bike for you.
Yeah, exactly. And I just sit there and just go, oh. Anyway, so I got my own little, each one of the bikes has its own little TV, and I actually got a hold of the guy who does maintenance, you know, who manages all the stuff, and I had this long conversation with him. Okay, here's the deal. You need, and I told him I would actually buy the connections he needs. I'll go to Radio Shack and get you what you need so that you can have little RCA inputs right here so that I can watch my iPod when I come in. And I'll just put it in these two bikes, and I'll know that when I come, it works in these two bikes. You know?
You're like Frank Sinatra. You walk in there and you got your own bike with your own RCA jacks on it.
Well, it's not my bike. But I want to put the RCA jacks in there. So he was actually going to look to see if he could do it. But if he can't, I'm actually going to put him in there just because when I'm biking, it's not, you know, I know I sound like a high roller, you know, but I'm going to spend my $15.
Yeah.
So that they're there, because I spend about 4 to 5 hours a week in front of the same screen.
Can't see this and they can't appreciate this, but Alex is huge. He's pumped. The guy is ripped. He's sitting here. He took his jacket from his dinner jacket off, and his cummerbund and his shirt and his bow tie, and he's huge.
What can I say? You know,
can you believe this guy?
Unfortunately, I'm trying to move the hugeness from my stomach to my chest. That's why I'm there all the time. You know, so I'm there all the time trying to I'm finding
hugeness readjustment.
I'm finding that as I get older, my metabolism is getting slower.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm trying to get back into shape, because every time I get on MacBreak, I get frustrated. I'm like, I see myself on video, or if I get on Tech TV and I'm like,
you should get a man girdle like
goodness.
Me.
A man, yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very slimming.
I was thinking of that. It was either that or just I was going to try to develop sickness or something that caused me to
some kind of wasting
away.
Disease.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking about that.
You know, I just couldn't do anything that would actually require me to throw up or not eat or anything. I just want like a tapeworm. I was thinking like, you know, I could just swallow
you
a tapeworm.
Get an eye tapeworm. We should find out that's something that they can do.
Exactly.
Okay, so back to the story though. This is great. And I mean, this is two quickie little rat holes here. First of all, back to Leo and I were talking about this a few discussions ago, but you know, Air Canada have been doing something pretty cool. They had a USB jack. Coming back from Toronto a month and a half ago. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was on I want to say an A319, but I don't think that's right. Mm-hmm. But it was on one of these. It was totally tricked out. It was a very new jet, and it had a touch screen. Like the JetBlue kind of TV, totally touchscreen.
Right. Virgin doesn't do.
This is Air Canada. And it had a USB jack, and it had AC power under the seat.
So what did it do with the USB jack?
It just charges. Oh, okay. It just has power. Okay. But so I'm just saying, like, so I don't know. I think this is really intriguing.
I want the USB jack. I can log into the cockpit.
There's a part of me that wonders whether part of this is the JetBlueization of more airlines. Because what, in my opinion, if you could summarize JetBlue down to one statement, it's that they started caring about the stuff that people who fly care about.
Well, and I think the other thing is they cared about things that are one cost and not expensive to do over and over and over again. So food is expensive to do over and over and over again. That's millions and millions
and millions
of dollars.
And food slows down. I mean, the most important thing is it slows down the amount of time your bird's in the air.
So
which is
both by the amount it slows you down and the amount it costs the airline to provide it. We're talking about millions and millions and millions of dollars. Whereas simply adding some other features to the a couple extra features or a couple extra things to the seat is a one-time cost. Right. It's not a recurring cost. And I think that being able to add all that is really easy for an airline. When I flew Virgin to Africa, and it was an amazing experience with this little, it had this little controller and had little games, and I could start the movie whenever I wanted to, and there was like 80 movies on it.
This is Coach. Wow.
Yeah, I don't, and when the Virgin says, you know, your coach will be like, you know, first class or whatever, the seats are smaller, but the screen is awesome. So
I think it would be really amazing if they had couch class.
They do. That's called first class in British Airways.
It would be like a dorm, like a common room. You could just kind of wander around.
That's everyone's got the same TV. There's, you know, if you want a beer, get your own beer.
That's a great idea.
That's like the dude class.
This also brings us back to one other thing, though, which is our crazy speculation. Actually, I think it was one of the first ones of these I did. That whole idea of, like, do we think we'll see Apple moving into airports at some point? Maybe via kiosks or via, you know. Do you remember that conversation? It was a conversation about the whole idea. It was based on something, an editorial or a blog entry, rather, on the Macworld site, speculating on the idea that wouldn't that be an interesting move for Apple to move into airports and to be able to, you know, obviously sell things like power cords and things like that, but also, you know, with a fairly modest kiosk, you could be selling minis or rather nanos. You could be selling.
You know, they were selling them when we were at the Ontario at the Portable Media Expo. There was actually a vending machine for iPods and all that stuff. It was like a big vending machine.
They had one of those at Macy's. It makes me feel like I'm on the Jetsons.
It's so weird. You just look at it and you're like, I can't believe they're selling $400 items in the
right next to a sandwich.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no. My iPod smells like cheese.
I hit the wrong button. I hit the wrong button.
$400 sandwich. I can't get lost on this. Evangeline Lilly.
And I have to admit, I would have invested heavily in power adapters if they had them at the airports, because I forget my power adapter about twice a year now, and I have like 60 flights a year, so it's a big deal.
Everybody is forever forgetting their power supplies, and also I guess I'm just getting at this. I mean, you know, so the speculation that we were talking about last time was, well, you know, would they ever do this? Because increasingly, you know, I think that was right after one of the scares, and yes, it was after the whole gel scare, and so everybody's like, oh gosh, you can't bring things on, but that's kind of calmed down, and you know, it seems to me that the airlines like having a docile passenger. So if you can have somebody who's got they're a little screen to play with, and they're going to be left to their own devices. I don't know. It just seems like a good move for Apple to get into that.
Well, I think we did talk about earlier that they now have a power adapter for your plane seats, you know, and so the, you
That's
know
right.
for your Mac,
the Mag Light, the Mac, Magna,
MacBook
what's it
Pro,
called?
The Mag Power or whatever.
Safe.
MagSafe. You're right. There you go. So it's which is really, really good, because what a lot of people don't know is that some of these airlines just hide that in almost all of their seats. You know, like U.S. Airways has it in every seat, coach or not. You know, I just was on a flight 2 days ago coming back from Pittsburgh, and so it was the so it's something that you can definitely. I would highly suggest that and many batteries.
Wow. So what's the time frame for this? As usual, I didn't finish reading the article. So when is this supposed to happen?
Next year.
Next year, not soon enough.
So we have 70%
mid 2007.
So we have 70% of cars being shipped with iPod connectors, and we have
what?
30% of airplanes.
Where'd you get that?
That was the stat on the.
Yeah, the stat was the 70%, but I think they were iPod ready, and I think that means different things to different car companies.
It means 8-inch jack. For Chrysler,
it means a stereo, right. Stereo mini, yeah, female.
Stereo mini. It means plug it into your BMW or Mercedes.
So some of them are like really, you put your iPod in and you can control it.
Yeah. So as you're driving, wow. If you use the control wheel, the steering wheel is the control wheel. So as you turn left, the volume goes down, and if you turn right, the volume goes up. And as you brake, that's the next song, and as you accelerate.
That'd be awesome if there was a modal switch that you could just go between change direction of car and change volume of iPod.
So, but
I love this song.
But I do have to say that the you know, what we've had to deal with up until now is, you know, a lot of these cars have only had, you know, they don't have cassette decks anymore, so they have CDs, and so the only way to interface them with is those stupid radio transmitters, which are cute. But if you're in a city,
it's like Mr. Microphone. Yeah. Well, you know, it just sounds
if
like
you
ass.
Get one, you know, the thing is if you get one that works with your car, it works really well. But you have to be prepared to do trial and error.
Griffin.
I did something that I probably shouldn't say on the radio that works really, really well.
We're not on the radio, so go ahead.
We're not on the radio. Yeah, there we go. So I tried something that was actually extremely effective. There's this little thing on the web, and I'll have to try to find it, that we use for seminars. That is, it's this little box, and it projects FM for 150 feet. And you can tune what channel you want it to, and it's much powerful, more powerful.
It's like a little traveling public radio.
And it might or might not be against legal. All kinds of FCC regulations. And I tried it for a trip, and it was awesome. So I hooked my little iPod into there,
wow.
And man, I got very clear signal. Now, what was cool was so did everybody else as I was driving down the highway.
So you could make people listen to Judas Priest, British Steel in every car around you.
It was very effective. It's like a little kit that you have to put together. You can't actually.
Breaking the law. 150 feet as I'm driving down the road.
That's federal,
now.
Dude. I would be careful with that.
Well, I don't those do federal it anymore. Guys. It was yeah. a test. It was right. a test. It was a test.
It
was a proof of concept. Yeah. And I don't even think I have the thing anymore.
Well,
I
think if you put a sticker on the back of your car that says, keep up, and you get to rock out.
I wanted to put a little thing in the mic. Welcome to WCAR, my car. So anyway, if you're all out there, if you do a search for FM transmitter, you'll probably find it. It's like $30.
I had the Griffin one where you strap it onto the top,
and it's all static,
and you got to find the right FM station and everything, and.
It works great when you're in Nebraska because there's no other radio waves. It's just when you're in the city.
If you're anywhere, because
you're competing with everything else.
Right. Part of the problem is that...
And it changes, right?
FM,
you got to change it.
FM is a very difficult frequency. You have to have a lot of power to make it work, and you have to be pretty much right on. And so with these new digital tuned FM, it's that frequency. And so if the Griffin thing is off by just a... Then yeah. you know, and that's a technical.
Well, and
term.
the other
then,
problem is
just a geek.
Yeah, a geek.
No, but it's digital. It's not. Right. It's not fuzzy.
So if you had yeah. the, you know, the old Safecracker FM, then you could just dial it in and yeah. it'd be. Yeah.
Let's maybe we should ask the kids. Ask the kids to come to the
twit.tv.
Come to twit.tv for TV
to
for this MacBreak for this
Weekly.
Episode. What is this? 15 MacBreak.
This is number 15.
15. Number 15. And tell us what is your favorite way of getting your iPod onto other.
Tell
places.
Us what works.
Yeah, because I gave up a long time ago.
The so I did. I rented a Dodge Charger in LA.
Like a Dukes of Hazzard car?
No, it's a newer one.
Oh, okay. Did it have the flag on it?
Good.
Anyway, so the...
I'm 40.
Yeah.
How can you do it, Dukes? Did it.
I just love that somehow they managed to get a character on TV named Enos. It's still funny. So you got a charger. What's a modern charger look like?
It's pretty cool looking.
Handsome car?
It's kind of a mixture of the Dukes and a tank.
Oh.
So, no, it was actually a good drive. It had some power and everything else. But the most important thing is it had an eighth inch jack. It was the first one I had seen of one of these cars that had an eighth inch jack in it. And it was, I looked down and I saw this little eighth inch jack and I literally, I immediately Squee! Popped out. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I immediately, I have a little palm. I have a Trio with yeah. And I have a GPS. And so I immediately...
Oh, that'll yell out the directions to you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. But what I do with it is that, you know, usually I use it in L.A. because I'm always lost in L.A. I got my little TomTom and I wrote in Radio Shack and it shows me like Radio Shack is 4.8 miles away and I drove straight to Radio Shack and I bought my eighth inch to eighth inch, popped it in my headphone, popped it in there and it was crystal clear.
That is so cool.
It was crystal clear. And then when I changed it, it was another crystal clear song. And then I changed it again. And you know what happened next?
Crystal clear.
And crystal clear.
That's so nice.
And I was just like, and I thought to myself as I was driving happily I was on the 405 going 2 miles an hour, and I didn't care because I had crystal clear music that was of my choice. And I thought to myself, radio is truly dead.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to say, I like when I get the cars, this is not very Mackie, but I like when I get the cars that have the satellite radio too. I like that. But the thing that I usually do whenever my wife and I go somewhere and we know we're going to rent a car, this is really dorky in 1996, but we just always make sure we just burn a few, like I'll do some smart playlists to just burn some yeah. mixed discs. Another good reason to always take CDs with you whenever yeah. you go on the road.
I take blank CDs.
In your hipster office. You yeah. should always have your hipster office, which is your, mm-hmm. like the hipster PDA, it's your very lo-fi office full of extra cards and what have you.
Actually, blank DVDs work better than CDs because CDs are kind of fragile.
They take so long to burn.
No, they don't. They yeah, don't they take do. Anymore. No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
They take too long to burn.
They take too long to burn.
They don't. No. The reason why you should take DVDs and not CDs.
But you can't play them on the car radio.
See,
I was thinking just from a purely, I need to burn this.
No, no. When we're traveling, I'll take blank CDs and we'll drive down the one and we'll do it in yeah. the car while we're
That's
talking. Like, oh,
yeah.
what are we going to do this song? Or we'll sit in the hotel that night and go, what do we feel like tomorrow? I feel like a little Brazil.
For the sake of argument, if you had your incredibly illegal FCC-defying Uber FM device, is that something you could use potentially in a hotel room as well?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Something that's cleft to the vehicle?
No. It's actually designed to just sit somewhere and project.
It's got a big skull and crossbones yeah. and a big warning sticker.
Arr,
there's all these
We're
warnings all over,
over
it.
The air.
You just knocked Terry Gross off the air. Yarr.
I'd be talking to Terry Gross. I'm a pirate.
And so, yeah, no, it's
hypothetically, though.
I don't even know what they make it for. I mean, other than do what we do. But what we bought it for was we really were doing a seminar in the middle of nowhere where we knew that yeah. there was no one that was going to be around. And we gave everybody little headphones instead of so they could all listen because it was a big set. And so you had 80 people sitting there and it was buying 80 like little things that they could listen to that were the kind that you're supposed
Sounds
to
like
use.
That's was really
the Flaming
expensive.
Lips did that.
For.
The Flaming Lips did that. They gave everybody like in the audience like Walkmans and played along to it.
And they probably used something like that broke the law.
Yes, yes. Wayne Coyne always breaking the law for the sake of the rock.
There you go.
All right.
So I want to thank everybody. There was a couple people who.
Oh gosh, yeah.
This was kind of fun.
Got it off Gizmodo. Where did you get it from?
Which one are you talking about?
The iPod airplane story.
Oh, well, that's...
Oh, we've already moved on?
Yeah, I'm moving on. I'm past it. I'm over.
Well, if you're with the FCC and you'd like to pick Alex up.
Hey, shut it. So,
everybody's actors. You know, so... Homeland Security, the RIAA, the FCC. Yeah.
So, we also had one on... this is digiaudio.blogspot.com.
Oh, yeah.
And so both... and I can't... I'm trying to find the name here of who runs this thing, but...
Backstory
is okay. So the backstory from last week is that I was complaining about radio that I want to be able to program my iTunes like I used to program radio, and I wanted to have playlists. And so the idea was that I could set up a series of playlists. Let's say my hot rotation, my medium rotation, my light rotation, my all these different rotations, and then I could set them up so it would grab one from the hot, and the next time it would grab one from the light, and I could design how that worked. And so here, someone put one together, and this is on once again, digiaudio.blogspot.com. And I'm looking for the name of the person who does this, and I don't know where it is. It doesn't have a on the page. I'm waiting for, my profile. I bet you if I went to Jeff Hankerson. So Jeff Hankerson put up a script that actually does something like what I was talking about, and And also, he wasn't the only one. So also, let me see if I, Chris Harrington, who does a lot of Mac stuff. He's got a great great site. And so Chris also in No Soap Radio. This is anyway, so localtype.org. And I don't know what is we'll put the URL up on the show notes. But so Chris Harrington and Mr. Hankerson put together two different approaches to it, which are very, very good and probably pretty useful, but not exactly what I wanted.
Well, so can you describe what it is they do? I hadn't tried these yet.
They do random. They're using playlists.
It does work. It does something kind of fun.
It does. They use they're allowing you. And here's the thing. And maybe these guys can go up to MacBreak Weekly and describe this. They can put it in the little comments list, because what I didn't get is, and I've realized that what I'm going to need to do is I'm going to record a movie of what I want, and I'll kind of draw it out for people so that they can really see it and see if they can reproduce exactly what I'm looking for, because it's complicated, and I realized that we were arguing so much about whether it was
so much
possible.
Work into a single lazy web request.
I am, but it was awesome. I was like so impressed that these guys were working on this, and so now I want to try to, and maybe it can do it, but I went through these. I saw them, and I went through them, and I tried to do them exactly the way that they were described. And while they were useful, I mean, they would randomly build a smart list. The AppleScript one is kind of cool, because it literally like builds the list from the things that you selected. And
it's got like a little interface.
It's got like a little
it's got a series.
Basic.
It's got a it emulates a wizard by walking you through a series.
Yeah, a little bit like that. And mm-hmm. So it was these were both really good tries at what I was looking for. But I'm not, unless I'm missing something with both of these, they're still not exactly what I want. And I would love if someone figured out how to do that, you know.
You should definitely make a movie.
I'm going to make a movie by next week. So by next week, we'll announce that I'll have a movie done.
So that America's web monkeys can help
and
you.
And Leo. See, the problem is this was my chance. I was going to try to make the movie before this episode, because this was my chance, because Leo's going to shoot me down. So he's going to be like, oh, I can't believe that. You know, but I was like, oh, I could talk about it. And so I'm going to put up a movie. I'll put it up somewhere. I'll talk about it next week. And I'll let you know where it's at. It'll be somewhere on the PixelCore site. That's where I can post. And so the, the basic thing is that for those of you listening, if you want to keep on playing, is that it really has to, you have to be able to grab the playlists and say, I want to go from this playlist to this playlist to this playlist, you know, one to the next. I need to be able to control. I don't want it randomly grabbing out of all those playlists. It doesn't do me any good. I want to grab the one song from playlist A, one song from playlist B, one song from playlist C, and then and I can set it up, like, for instance, in a given hour I might want it to hit playlist A two or three times, and I want it to randomly grab songs out of playlist A that haven't been played until all of them have been played, and then start over again. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes
kind of like
sense.
A sort of like a carousel, kind of, it's moving from one to the next.
Yeah,
it's depleted all of those songs.
And what you really want to do is you don't want it to actually play. If you're doing radio, you know, there's people used to pay. I actually wrote a program that did this. So that was, I wrote it in HyperCard that would actually.
So this is why you kept saying radio. You just mean in the sense that you don't want it to repeat it in an hour or something like that.
Well, in radio, this was how we programmed a radio station. And so what would happen is that you would you grab something out of the hot rotation, which might show up three times in a given hour, three mm-hmm. different songs from the hot rotation. You had a recurrent that would show up, seasonal recurrent that would show up once or twice a week. Yeah, exactly. You'd have a Goldie, which was a gold rotation, which was like your old Depeche Mode and the Police and, you know, that kind of, The Cure, and things that you were sure people would want to hear even though it was old. And then you'd have all these current ones. And so the idea, though, is you're able to constantly redesign how these work. And as it's going down this smart playlist, this Uber playlist, mm-hmm. what it does is it's grabbing one from this playlist, and then it goes to and grabs another one from this place in whatever order those playlists were given. Does that make sense?
So you're not going to hear. So you'll hear The Police and you'll hear The Cure within a 2-hour period, but you won't hear Roxanne and then Close to Me right next to each other. It's going to mix it up.
It keeps it mixed up, but it's mixed up. But it's mixed up in the way I want it.
Tuesday.
Yeah, but it's mixed up in the way that I want it to be mixed up between new stuff. Because the big thing is, if you just do a random playlist, you're getting this random splosh of all your music.
You could do this. Sounds like a very Apple scriptable.
This is any scriptable.
Okay, well, John, I expect you to have it done by next week.
I'll enter it.
We should have a prize.
Yeah.
What are you going to give? You have been very clear about your needs.
Here's the deal.
And I want to find out what you're going to give the kids.
You can't win one of our microphones. We need all.
No, no, no. no, no. Here's the deal. If someone actually gets what I'm, you know, I'm willing to go back and forth.
You write the spec. You do your little freaking movie. And then I want you to give them something cool for all this trouble and making them listen to this. You got to give them something cool.
Here's the deal. I'll give them a DV Garage power pack.
Ooh.
Power pack.
Power pack.
Power pack.
It's the DV Garage power pack.
Sunday.
Sunday.
No anyway, overpass.
So anyway, all that. This, the DV Garage power pack is pretty much everything the DV Garage makes. It's worth about $1,100 in
what?
Software. Yeah. So it's all
is
of
that
our,
retail value?
Yes, the retail value. But it can be yours for the price of one Apple script that will do this correctly.
And it's contained in an actual garage.
So the first person who can get that done, now I know.
What's included in that?
It's a ton of Photoshop training that DV Garage makes, my Photoshop training, and it's got a bunch of texture maps for 3D artists. It's got stuff on how to use QuickTime Pro, how to use all kinds of visual effects tools, how to do green screen and blue screen, how to do 3D. So it's a lot of tutorials, some tools. It's got DV Matte, which does a really good keying.
I bet you that thing that I did for how to learn After Effects is still in that.
It probably is. Yeah. So there's a ton of stuff in it, and
that's
and
pretty
we'll,
good.
We'll give that away.
I'll throw in Hipster PDA, signed by all of the hosts.
There you go. So do you have anything?
What are you going
to
give?
I have a quarter.
Okay, and John, and
is it, like a hobo quarter, or is it one that you've fashioned into something special?
No. The reason is the quarter is symbolic, because if
you're giving them a symbol.
No. The thing is that if you ask for an idea and somebody responds to it, you pay them. You pay them the quarter.
Oh.
You know, it's like, here, thank you very much.
That's really the proper
way
to do
it. Sounds like the kind of disappointing thing a father would tell you.
No. This is
I'm going to send them a drawing. I'm going to send them a drawing of a Hipster PDA.
We talked about this on the other podcast, but the idea was that
in a couple of different effects firms that we've worked in, that what we would do is anytime someone told you a tip that was really useful for you, you'd always give them a quarter.
Yeah.
That was kind of your way of saying thanks. It was kind of a hip way of
I had a similar thing in college. If you mentioned Monty Python, you had to put a quarter in the kitty. Similar kind of thing.
Similar to that.
The idea was that whenever I had somebody said an idea, it's like, oh, here's this great idea. I'm like, well, thank you very much. And I would pay them the quarter. And then later on, if I actually developed the idea and used it, they couldn't complain that they didn't pay.
It's a weasel out thing. All right. Well, I think
we started off giving people beer. But then they stopped giving us any good tips by 3 o'clock in the afternoon
because they had alcohol poisoning.
Well, you get lots of good tips.
The really good ones would get liver damage. Well, and we were losing kids.
So I'll even throw in a beer.
All right. So we've got what is it? $14,000.
No. We're gonna.
What was it? How much is it?
We're gonna. John will buy you a beer if you come to San Francisco. We're not sending beer in the over the.
I'm just saying, make it interesting. We've got a package here.
We could digitize it. Put it on the FTP site, and they could download it.
Downloadable beer.
It's not like
it's an e-beer. Yeah. Okay, well, I think this is good. That's a start.
All right, Matt guy is he in or is he out?
He's in. He's so in.
Okay, according to Apple Insider, he's out.
Now, according to his blog, he's in.
Okay, now again, I got to be Professor Context here. People don't know what you're talking about. We're talking about the hilarious.
I'm a Mac.
I'm a PC.
I am a PC.
So I'm a Mac.
John Hodgman impersonation.
So I'm a Mac was supposedly out. He was reported as being done, and that John Hodgman, PC, was going to be the...
And people were coming out of the woodwork to pile on this guy, which I thought was kind of puzzling.
We hate this guy. I'm like, wait a minute.
I think he's great.
I think he's funny. I think it works really well.
People, did you get that? The people were like, I've never liked him along. I don't like the Mac. Blah. He has a hoodie, and he's a hipster.
I think the technical term was snarky.
Yeah, snarky.
I didn't get that all. But anyway, so the story was, and according to his weblog or blog...
He's like, as for the Mac commercials, I don't know where that report came from that said I wasn't going to do anymore. I literally setting my alarm right now to wake up for a Mac shoot tomorrow. I'm not doing anymore, I guess. I can sleep in and take the day off.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
So I guess he's still in. Now, do you think anybody's complaints are they all groundless?
Well, you know, I'm an unapologetic John Hodgman fanboy. If you have not read his book, The Areas of My Expertise, you should read it, and you should get the books on CD because it is the funniest thing that you'll hear this year. I am a huge John Hodgman fan, so I think the problem is
download the hobos. All the
names. 700 hobo names is available on his site as one MP3.
With Jonathan Colton singing.
In one take. He played guitar for 50 minutes. Yeah. Jonathan, yeah. So anyway, I'm an unapologetic fanboy of Mr. Hodgman. And so I think part of the problem is he's so freaking funny in that commercial. The one with the just let me
just let me depreciate.
Yeah. he's a very, very gifted comic, and you know that's a lot of competition to live up to. And also, I mean, anybody will tell you, you know, the harder job in a comedy relationship is usually the straight man. You know, the straight man usually gets paid more because it's not the.
Yeah, and I think that there, you know, it was one of those things. As soon as this came up, I started thinking about it, and I said, well, he is a little snarky.
Well, so if you want to,
but here's the thing: what I realized was is that there's a bunch of us that are Mac guys going, yeah. You know, like, and if you think about it from the other side, it made me feel like it's a little condescending.
I spent a little bit of time thinking about this, and I came to the conclusion that PC was going to upgrade himself to a Mac. He was going to take the essence of himself and become a switcher. PC was going to switch, and that PC
and would start wearing a hoodie.
Yeah, you know, well, he would just be different. He would be, you know, he would say, you know what, I used to do this and this, and I'm finding that I can still do those things, but now I can make a book, and now I can make a movie, and I can be creative, and I can do a podcast, and I can take myself wherever I want to go because I'm a iBook now.
Maybe that'll be the end of the ad.
That's an interesting route. Yeah. Well, I would like to say just for myself that I don't find him annoying. So just to finish that thread though, if you take it as most people do, that it's an entertaining commercial and people enjoy it. Personally, I'm not sure if it's the most persuasive commercial to a PC user, but I do think they're very funny and very well done. Who should be or what should be portraying a Mac?
The girl from Lost.
Oh, Evangeline Lilly.
Yeah, she should be a Mac.
She'd be a Mac.
But Jack would be a Mac.
Yeah.
I think Jack would be a Mac.
Sawyer? I think Sawyer would be a Mac.
I don't know. I think
Sawyer would be Linux.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Sawyer would be Linux.
Freckles.
But which version?
Huh?
Command line or GUI?
Oh, I think he would be Bash.
No. I actually think Sawyer would be PC, but I think he'd be like Windows 2000 or something like that.
Windows 2000 was the best release that there ever was.
No, but what about he'd sneak
Henry,
up on you.
What about
he sneaks
Henry
up
Gale?
On you just when you think everything's
fine. What's Henry Gale's real name? What's his name? The creepy guy with the eyes? The guy with the spine tumor?
Oh, he's definitely PC.
You think he's definitely PC?
I think all the others are PC.
Yeah, I bet he's DOS.
Yeah, I don't think that. Except for the girl, the woman that Jack.
Yeah, the
she's
blonde.
A Mac.
Yeah, yeah.
She's definitely a Mac, but the other guys are all PC.
Yeah, no,
Well, Kirk was a Mac, and Spock was definitely a Unix machine.
Mr. Echo, that's the one I'm not sure about.
Mr. Echo just beat the crap out of you with whatever you're using. Spoiler alert. I'm not going to say anything because people may not have seen it.
Yeah,
I'm the guy who's out of the characters. Conversation because you guys are using all these words and I'm talking about other characters and you're ignoring me.
I'm not ignoring you.
Who's Mr. Echo?
Do you remember the essay?
Did you say it?
Yes.
I'm on drugs. Sorry, man.
Did you hear something, Alex?
I don't hear anything here.
He's a character I'm on. There was an article a long time ago.
Who do you think Mr. Echo is?
I don't know.
That's why we weren't listening.
Well, did you watch Oz on HBO?
You know what? I'm the guy who doesn't have a TV.
I don't own a TV.
I don't have a TV.
I fashion quill pens and make my own flooring.
But you just like...
I make my own motor oil out of bananas. far inferior consumer products make me ill.
So no, but you have played Mac Heist.
Yeah, I played Mac Heist.
Wait a minute, we're not done with this.
I was segueing.
You're segueing?
I'm segueing.
Because I don't have a TV,
Lost is dead to me.
I spent my weekend playing Mac Heist.
And what did you think?
Kind of cool.
In terms of context, what is Mac Heist?
Well, the idea of Mac Heist is this new game thing that came out of, that's the next version of...
My Dream App.
My Dream App. And so the idea is to get people to be involved.
What is My Dream App?
My Dream App. My Dream App.
What? My Dream App is... Yeah.
My Dream App was a contest where a bunch of people wrote in with ideas for the application that they would most want to see. And Merlin and Leo and a bunch of other people judged this. They came up... It was a fierce competition over about 2 months, was it? And... somebody came up with the winner, Which was the recipe thing?
Which was not the one where you get to pick out your clothes with your computer, unfortunately.
That was kind of silly.
You know what? I'm not going to get into this.
Okay. Again.
But no, but it was there were some great ideas. And the whole idea of it, though, was the people come in and just, you don't need to be a developer.
Right.
You just come in with a good idea. Well, and then the best or the most popular ideas would be made into actual apps.
Killed and turned into PC apps.
The funny thing about
would have DRM added to them. And
the funny thing was, as a longtime developer, I was looking at this. I'm like, basically going, no. No, that's interesting. No. Ooh, you know, because it was like, well, we've seen a lot of these things already.
Because it would because you don't feel like there's a user interest, or because it wouldn't be fun to build.
Because it wouldn't be fun to build, and
this is like letting the guys with the brooms decide who gets to be in the parade. You know, letting the developers decide what would be fun.
Because the idea that the clothes thing was okay, kind of interesting, but it's a build nightmare.
Yeah. It sounds like delicious library for clothes, but I'm going down a rat hole here. I'm not going to do that.
You know, but you'd have to keep the barcodes on all the clothes for that to work. And you have to walk around like a total geek with barcodes on your clothes, and everyone would know that you were running the fashion app.
Yeah. Yeah, I see your point. Okay, so my dream app, it's all closed up now. That's all done,
it's
right?
Done. And so they've moved on to Mac Heist, and so this is an interactive thing. Very first thing that you, after you get an invitation, you get an assignment and pretty clear directions as to what is to happen.
And it's like a treasure hunt.
It's a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
So I emailed the guy, Billy, whatever his name was, and about an hour and a half later, I got a email back saying, prove to me who you are. And I'm like, I'm on This Week in Media. I really am not from Apple. And he's like, oh, I guess you are. And I got my next assignment. Well, right.
Was that, just I'm curious, was that accepted as a credential?
It was, no, you had to prove that you were, that, you know, you're basically digging up the iPhone specs as part of the heist.
Right. Oh, I see what you're saying.
So in order to do that, I had to give up that I was not with Apple and that I was the real deal and that Apple PR should talk to me and I got through that bot and then found the next bit.
Were you able to dig anything up?
I did. I found it. I solved the case.
You won?
Well, I got my heist code and I was able to get my loot.
Wow.
It was fun. And you know what? It didn't take that long.
You have like way more time than I do.
I didn't spend that long. I spent maybe an hour.
That's pretty cool.
That's more time than I have.
And so the first challenge was to get specs on the iPhone.
Yeah.
Has there been a second one yet?
No, they haven't released the second one. As near as I know, I haven't gotten an email saying, hey, next one's up.
Fascinating.
Maybe it'll be your playlist. Maybe it'll be for people to go out and
make Alex's playlist, Matt.
Yeah. It's funny how the show has basically turned into the last two episodes. It's basically to make it easier for Alex to exercise.
I think my wife would be very happy with
my
that.
Exercise.
Yeah, exactly. So, speaking of pimping my exercise bike, have you seen this sneak preview of podcast producer? This is on the Apple site?
Oh, yeah. And this is on the server for...
It is... this is on Apple servers. So the podcast producer would sit on an Apple Xserve. And you can simply link into it. I don't... You know, from the description that they have, I'm kind of, slowly figuring out what they mean. But you can basically just say start up and go, and it'll capture, compress, prepare.
You've shot some video of yourself.
No, it lets you do it, like, live.
So this is an extension of QuickTime Broadcaster. It's basically doing you could still do a live show and then have it.
I don't know if you could do a live show.
Well,
I don't know if it will let you. Anyway,
it seems to me that they took QuickTime Broadcaster technology and they wrapped it into something that's potentially more useful than just QuickTime Streamer.
And QuickTime Broadcaster, for those who don't know, is the app that allows you to shoot your own video and then spit it out at the compression and size.
Yeah. Here's what's interesting.
I've used that a couple of times, and the biggest issue with QuickTime Broadcaster is finding an ISP that supports streaming QuickTime streaming video. And there's only a few that don't.
Here's what's interesting about this. It says you can simply log into Podcast Producer from any computer with an internet connection, select your camera, and click start. When finished recording, click stop. That's it. Podcast Producer takes care of the rest. So it pulls all that data.
Wow.
It's not designed for us.
But it could be for like a small group working together.
Well, I think it's really designed for schools, companies who want to just have a bam, 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 bam. They're going to produce podcasts because this is something that's really becoming a big deal. Mm-hmm. We've been contacted by quite a few companies now that want us to produce podcasts for them, where they don't know anything about audio, but they do know that this is an effective communication tool to get to their 2,000 employees around the United States, where they can just do a podcast. Everyone downloads it on their iPod, listens to it on the way to work, and they can continue the propaganda properly.
This works really well in a classroom as well, because you'd have the Mac in front, you'd clip on your microphone, you'd make sure you had levels, and then off you go. And then at the end of it, then
that's really interesting. Can you have a director? Can there be someone who kind of decides? Pick streams and stuff like that to decide.
I don't think it's that complex yet.
I only mentioned it because this would go straight into this kind of social media sort of stuff we've been talking about.
I think the idea is that if you had the output of the camera that's going to this, you know, to this app, and you were feeding in multiple, you know, a live switcher, for example, and that was your FireWire feed, then you could get that.
Yeah, you could do that. It's one of those things that I think it's the first step. I mean, I think that this is, I don't think the idea is for podcasters who are serious about this. I don't think they're going to be using it, but I do think it's for educators, companies, and so on and so forth who don't want to know anything about it. They just want to turn it on, do it. They're not worried about it being a perfect quality, or they're not trying to compete with TV. They just want to get the message out to the employees. Mm-hmm. You know, this packages all of that up for them. So
it's pretty cool.
It could be nifty.
It's certainly interesting. Have you played any more with the big brother of VideoQ Pro, whose name is escaping me? What's the app that you were using?
I we just finally got the cards. So the guy sent me Wiretap Pro.
Yeah, tell him about this. This is kind of cool.
So Wiretap Pro, VideoQ, right?
I'm using VideoQ to shoot. Actually, the phone guy, whatever you call it, videocast or whatever, I've been using VideoQ for.
Right. And VideoQ is like a
teleprompter program that uses your iSight camera.
Right. And they have an upper end, they have a higher end one that is called Wiretap Pro. And it's VaraSoftware.com, VaraSoftware.com. And they have this thing called Wirecast, and they sent me one to test. And the problem was that I wanted to test it on my quad, which only used PCIX. And so then I had to order these FireWire cards. I couldn't just go over to the Apple Store or over to CompUSA. And it took forever to find them. And so I finally got them. They're sitting in this box over here. So now I have to sit down and test it. But we're going to test it pretty soon because I want to show it for some of this new show that we're doing, that we're going to start recording next week, called Gear Media Tech, GMT, that we're going to do with Leo and Scott, talking about podcasting, you know, and all these different technologies. And now what it does is it allows you to not only record, but you can fly in graphics, you know, lower thirds. You can also do more than one camera. Reason I was getting all these FireWire cards is so I can fire three cameras into it and be capturing it. Well, it's not capturing all three cameras, but it's bringing them all in. I can do a live switch of those cameras.
That's powerful. So you could have people walking around. Can you do like would it be like wireless, or would they all be?
No. They all have to have a FireWire cable on them.
So you couldn't get too crazy walking around.
But when you're watching Charlie Rose, let's say you're looking at three cameras that are moving. You know, that are floating around.
Three cameras is also the classic kind of sitcom setup.
Yeah. So, but if you're doing an interview, and when we were doing Twit videos, you know, we had three cameras, and but the thing with Twit is that we would record them all, and then we'd have to go back and edit them later. And then there was this long, you know, lag, and there was this thing called broadcast storm or channel storm that would do it, but they would never give us enough power to record the full quality video to drive, and that's what these guys do. And so the Wirecast Pro looks really, really good, and when we do a little bit more testing, probably in December, we'll know more. So it should be pretty interesting. It's an exciting possibility for doing stuff, especially like if you look at MacBreak. MacBreak is three channels of information that are coming through. You know, you have the two cameras and the screen. If we can figure out a way to just be switching back and forth between those, and it also has a keyer built into it. Now it's not going to be chroma key that's just built in. So if you're in front of a green screen,
so you can do green screen stuff.
Yep. Yeah. So it's pretty nifty. It's pretty pricey. It's like $500 and some bucks, but it's cool.
But it's cheaper than a hardware switcher.
It is much cheaper than a hardware switcher. The best hardware switcher, by the way, out there is, for a low price, the Data Video one. Data Video makes one that's like $5,000. Wow. That's about as little as it gets when you get a real hardware switcher. There's ones that are cheaper than that, but they're all crap.
Well, you guys,
we bought them all, and I'm pissed.
Well, Pixel Core's stock and trade is doing this very high end stuff, and you guys do great work at that. Do you see interesting stuff happening in terms of the hardware and the software continuing? It just seems like that's got to continue to develop and get interesting as more and more people, as it becomes, as prosumer is going to become more something that like everyday people want.
Well, we're seeing it happen. You know, the hardware, it's all going to come down to people's ability to develop good content and be able to technically understand what they're doing, but the tools are all going to be, I mean, you can really do good audio podcasts, for instance, for a couple $100. You can do good video podcasts for probably $1,500 if you already have a computer. And really, you could do, if you have enough talent, you could do good video podcasts with a $300 camera that you wander around with, or even your eyesight. I mean, you could practically do, I mean, if, you know, so all that stuff is really becoming much more affordable, and it's an exciting time.
It really is. It is remarkable to think about. I mean, I don't know enough about PCs to say, but it just feels like if you've got, like in my case, you got a MacBook Pro?
Yeah, it's a
MacBook Pro.
MacBook Pro.
Got a MacBook Pro. You go out. I mean, like, I get a lot of people saying, you know, gosh, you know, well, how do you record your podcasts? And I mean, eventually I went out and bought a Radio Shack mic and a little pantyhose to put over it.
Right.
But most of the time I'm just using a USB, like a Skype headset.
$14.
And,
right.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not, like I say, I mean, it's not super high end, but you know, it's remarkable how kind of, the ramp up to this stuff is not complicated, and you can be doing some really high quality stuff. And you know, I'm just saying, you know, there's free tools that come with your Mac that you can do a lot of, like the QuickTime. Actually, Derek Story, we should link to this. Derek Story had a great tutorial from a while back, I think, actually, on how to use the QuickTime Broadcaster to capture to locally. And that's, so I mean, there's all these kind of free tools out there that make this so easy to do. And I think you're right, Alex. I think the biggest thing is the good content, but. Your Mac sure makes it easy for you, said the fanboy.
I want to thank a couple people because I forgot to while we were doing it. Mecha Mac, whoever Mecha Mac is, and also Leo. Well, Leo posted the Apple podcast thing, and then CB did as well. And these are Egos, did the Mac Heist. So all of these guys, the only reason I'm saying this, I'm grabbing some of these names out here because we've had a great number of people posting to our Delicious list.
Yes.
And I want to make sure people keep on doing that.
I love this.
It is so awesome. And like the software that my software pick for the week here was, I had no idea existed until I looked at the list, and I'm in heaven. And I'll talk about that.
So should we remind people how to do this?
Yeah. What you want to do is, if you're listening to this and you want us to do something, you know, you want to put it on our list of things that we might talk about.
Found something fun for us to talk about.
Yeah. What you want to do is, you want to go to Delicious, and that it's just do a Google for Delicious. I'm not going to try to explain it on the web. It's the most goofy.
Just start
URL.
Typing the word Delicious and then add some random periods.
Yeah. It's the goofiest thing. So anyway. So Delicious, and create your own Delicious list. And what a Delicious list is you can have this little JavaScript that you kind of drag into your bookmarks, and when you're on a site, you can just say, oh, I want to remember that, I want to remember where that is, and I just click on it, and it makes these Delicious lists, and you can give it tags, and I the tags are really what make it powerful.
Yeah.
But one of the things you can do is, you can tag, if you tag it MBW ideas, just put that in the tag.
One word.
You can put a bunch of other tags, but just put that all in one word, MBW ideas. We see the list because I can go in and search Delicious/tag/MBW ideas, and anybody can do this. Anybody can search and see the list of the things that we're looking at, and it's and literally most of the stories that we're talking about this week were generated by the listeners, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, totally.
You know, it was just like we're allowing you to really, you know, let us know what you think is important, and we have some ideas of things that we want to talk about, but I think that it's really powerful, and it was really useful, and I hope more people do it.
Yes, I agree completely.
What are the app choices?
Oh, is it time?
It's time.
We should have music for this part of the show.
Dun da 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 dun dun da da da.
Who goes first?
John.
I'm going to talk about a program called Write Room.
Yeah.
And this is labeled distraction-free writing. Now, the cool thing about writing on a computer is that you can basically make copy perfect copy, or yeah, that's right. But the problem that I have is that my email, my web page, my everything, my IM is all in front of me, and it's distracting me from my writing. Most annoying. So Write Room takes over the screen and gives you something that looks like 20 years ago with my Apple II and the green screen. And all the command keys still work. So bold, you know, command I, command B, command U for underline, all that stuff still works. So I get this green text, or it could be any color text. It doesn't matter. And then, so I'm just typing away. It's like a typewriter. And then once that's done, command S gets me my save stuff, and I'm back to what I'm doing.
And what's that called
again? Does full screen mode?
Yeah, full screen.
No mode. Internet?
No RSS? No RSS, nothing.
no cables?
No phone, no light, no motor car, not in single.
I literally, there are places that I go hide just so I don't have any internet connection, so I can actually think.
First of all, this app is part of a really interesting development. I think there's a lot of partisanship on the whole idea of full screen apps and the idea of distraction free apps. It's something that I personally at 43 Folders have gotten really adamant about. If you're like me and any like shiny piece of tinfoil takes you off what you're doing for an hour, You really want to be minimizing those kinds of distractions. This is a terrific app. You're seeing this more and more now in like pay apps, things mm-hmm. like DevonThink and I think it's DevonThink will do that. And what's the other one? But this is terrific. It's like, and you're, it's like being in a shell.
It's really cool to write in. And the thing that I mean, I do a lot of writing. I do writing in text edit. I do writing mm-hmm. in those stupid forms on the web page, and I'm getting out of the habit of doing that, and just taking writing out of the web.
Do you use that TextMate service for opening text areas in TextMate?
No, I didn't know about it.
Okay, this is just if you're...
I like TextMate a lot.
Well, if you use it, for you, those of you who are using TextMate, this is worth knowing. I think this installs automatically. I'm trying to remember. If not, I apologize, and I'll try to find out. But basically, if you're in any text area in Safari, you can select all and hit Apple, Enter. And basically, that'll create, I guess, like a temp file, and it'll open that up inside of TextMate. You have, expose all the TextMate functionality. You could be doing Markdown, HTML, what have you.
Wow, cool.
And then when you're done, you save and you close, and it goes back and it's all popped. It's kind of something Firefox has done for a long time.
Right.
But it's so much better than typing in a text area.
So...
Anyway, I'm with you, though. That's a great app.
It's a really cool app. There's other apps that are like... And the reason I got this was that I was a participant in NaNoWriMo,
which
is the National Writing Month. And the idea is to write 50,000 words in a month. Write a book in a month. And it's a total mental catastrophe.
How are you doing so far?
I'm at 15,000 words, so I'm kind of on... I'm a little bit behind.
Wow.
But... I'm on track for being close.
Nice.
That's craziness.
Yeah, it is craziness. But, like Cory Doctorow was talking about in a writing thing, you really have to make writing a non-event. You have to be able to just say, oh, I'm going to write now. And, whenever that is.
It really is.
So it's a great exercise in doing this.
There's something creatively about getting past the I have to be in the right mode or I have to be in the right mood.
Or I've got this elaborate ritual I have to go through in order to start writing. The more you can lower the pitch of that ramp.
Yeah.
So that you can just start, if you've got 5 minutes, that's what Corey's great at.
Yeah.
Corey, if you ever watch Corey work, he gets these little pockets of 5 minutes and he'll just start writing or doing whatever.
And so it really is training yourself to do that. And I think that with the computer, especially with a Mac where you can switch modes really, really quickly and your screen isn't taken over in that. I think if you can learn to disassociate the event, the ritual, I just need to do this, and then there it is. It's kind of fun. I mean, I don't have a phone, and I talk to people using email, using a forum, using IM, and all that. And everyone's like, "How do you do that?" I'm like, "I just do it. That's the way I communicate."
Right. Right. Just one other quick suggestion. This is something I picked this up from Danny O'Brien a long time ago. But another great trick: if you're just at the end of your rope in terms of distractions and all of your stuff,
acid.
One good acid trip will clear out all the cobwebs. Work for Art Linkletter's daughter. But the best thing you can do is go and create a new account. Go create a new, fresh account on your Mac.
Oh, that works really well.
And I'll tell you why. Because none of your bookmarks are in there.
No.
None of your net newswire is in there. None of your email is in there. You open it up and you go in your freaking open text edit and you start typing.
Yeah.
Or what have you. But the point is, I mean, there's other things you can do, use this trick for. I use it to do all my demos in. So whenever I'm on MacBreak, I have one user called Demo that I do all that stuff in. But it's kind of a last ditch thing. But
I have multiple accounts on my own Mac that one's called Guest, which is just that for that very purpose. purpose. And then another one is called Dev that I use for my development. And the idea is that all the stuff is in that one thing. And when I'm developing, I'm like, oh, here I am. And then that other world that I have, which is the I am, mm-hmm. bug me world, is somewhere else, turned off.
That's not a bad idea at all. All the apps are still available.
All the apps are still there, right. And if I need to, I can just, you know, log out and log in or switch.
And I have to remember with iChat. You know, if you've ever seen me, I pop my head up and I'll look around and then I disappear again.
The return of Gopher, and we haven't had that protocol in a long time, but Alex uses Gopher all the time.
Which I literally.
You made a Gopher joke.
I'll be on iChat for about 45 seconds total a day.
Oh, and then I am Bukkake starts and all the windows start popping.
Yeah, everyone. So I just appear and I look around to see if someone I'm looking for. I'll go, oh, I wonder if that person's on IM, and I'll pop up and look around a little bit and then I pop down.
I do the same thing.
Yeah, I can't, because otherwise, I mean,
your day's just gone. You're spending your time. It's the equivalent of somebody grabbing your head and making you stare at them for an hour.
Well, and the thing is that it's the two things that I think really time killers are the phone and IM, and I won't. It's very hard to get
a hold of me on the
phone.
Long time ago to not even bother to Alex. If you ever call Alex, don't call him because I'm sure it'll annoy him. But Alex used to have the best outgoing message ever.
Yeah, I won't get this message.
He's like, this is Alex. This is my phone. Don't leave a message. Send me an email.
No, and the best part was is that the one that people got scared of was I'd say, you can reach me at, and I'd give my email, and then I'd go, and if you don't have email, get it.
So I have this one better. So I have a phone number, which 206-666-5338.
Seattle.
Yeah. And it's a real fake phone number. So what happens is it goes right to voicemail. And it says, leave me a message. And after you leave me a message, it's packaged up as a wave and sent to my email.
I thought you said it goes to DevNull.
you're gonna get like 80 emails tomorrow.
Hey John, how's it going?
I listen to MacBreak Weekly, and you guys are really cool.
Nice podcast, dumbass.
I'm like, oh yeah, this so tech support hell just happened. But anyway, I think it's really cool because happens is that if I'm in front of my computer and I get that message, then I can probably help you. But if I'm not, that means I'm somewhere else.
It's also one of the million great reasons to get VoIP. I was paying a really exorbitant amount each month to those jackals at Pacific Bell or SBC or whatever they're called this week. And
AT&T.
AT&T now, that's right. In the ballpark, they're just going to get an LED sign that they can change every week or two.
Okay, for those of you not in San Francisco,
we used to have a really normal name for our ballpark.
It used to be called Pac Bell, which is perfect.
Pacific Bell Park.
But it just says Pac Bell Park. Yeah. And it rolled off your tongue. Pac Bell Park. You're going down to Pac Bell Park. It was great. And then they changed it. Changes to SBC.
And SBC actually stood for South Beach Community Park. Mm. Yeah, so the San Francisco people will actually get that because that area is called South Beach.
So
I didn't know that.
Now you know.
Oh.
So when they called it SBC, it made a lot of sense because, like, oh,
yeah, at least you get a little local flavor. At least you go, okay, you know what? We're done with this. It's SBC Park. They changed the names on all the cups. They changed the names on all the hats.
Yeah. And then it became AT&T.
Yeah. So AT&T. Now it's Death Star Park.
Oh my god!
Because it looks like their logo.
It
looks
totally
like a Death
does.
Star.
Yeah. It totally
so
does.
So it's Death Star Park, named after.
It did me. It did me much much goodness and joy in my life to tell them to take their $100 a month that I was spending between connectivity and phone and shove it up their corporate area.
I got
this thing called SunRocket. Mm-hmm. SunRocket is not perfect. It works on your IP, so like a lot of these, it'll just drop out sometimes. But the functionality is insane. Yeah. You have unlimited. You can create all these numbers. It's $200 a year to run this.
Wow.
And I just use it to forward to my cell phone. I have this phony baloney business number I use that basically it's nothing but voicemail and does the same thing. I get a wave file when somebody leaves a voice message. I get a wave file. I get a message to my cell phone and I get an email. And I can listen to it right in the email. Like, to me, like I've said all along, I want Spam Assassin for my phone. Like, I want regular expressions for my phone. It just seems crazy to me that this has gotten so much better now. Oh, and you can also block numbers. Oh. Any incoming number can be blocked. So if you're getting like those, you know, those weird like election year things. Anyway, right. I can't say enough good things about that. So I'm with you on that.
Is that your app? Is that your app?
Oh, it's not. It could be my app, but no, I had another.
If you have another app,
the
you
other
can share
thing that's kind of cool about having living in the 415 and having
that was that was Alex's segue.
That was a segue. That was the, okay. We've been talking about this too long. Let's move on.
You should get a big segue stick. Yeah,
all right, we were not going to talk anymore about that.
You know what? In future episodes, I would. It's not very Mac-y, but I think that's actually kind of an interesting idea. The VoIP.
Yeah.
This is my application. I don't know how much this is going to be useful to other people, but I as Leo surprised me by announcing a couple weeks ago, I'm working on putting together some kind of a program for Pixel Core and Twit.
It's going to be fun.
Well, we'll see about that. But you know, in writing some of the stuff, believe it or not, it's not all just going to be screen captures and index cards. I needed to do a little bit of writing, and so I came across this application that I like a lot. Now, you know, again, this is like a lot of these kinds of applications. You got to be careful that if you are the easily distracted type, this is the worst thing in the world for you. But if you need to write anything like a screenplay, check out, I think it's called Celtex, CELTX.com. This is a free application that emulates a lot of the functionality of higher-end screenwriting apps, and it is so frickin' tricked out with awesome stuff. You can go in, and not only do you get like all these little sub-areas and tabs for doing things like you write a scene, and it remembers the name of that scene. Oh, and show me what props appear in that scene, and show me which people appear in that scene, and show me who the animal handler for that scene is. And all this stuff gets captured in different files. You can spit out a shooting script. You can spit out, I mean, Alex, this is something Alex has probably looked at in the past, but if you're looking for a way to, like, whether you are just a writer, or if you're a producer, if you're looking to script some stuff, this could be fun for school projects, probably.
And how much is it?
It's free as in beer.
Holy.
Yeah.
It's free as in beer?
I showed this to you. I showed it to you. Have a look at it.
I just didn't remember how much it was.
Yeah.
It looks awesome.
Montage is another one that's very similar, that's really
right.
cool.
Right.
The costs. And there's, you know, what's the one everybody uses?
Final Draft.
And if memory serves, this plays friendly with Final Draft.
Oh, it opens it up.
It's got that look to it.
Right.
That Firefox kind of slightly swingy kind of look, but I think it's a terrific app, and the fact that it's free just blows my mind. So if you need to do any kind of writing or any kind of even preparing for a production, have a look at celtx.com. That is my advice to you. Alex, do you have an app this week?
I have an app. This one was brought to me by one of our listeners.
Oh, so I love our listeners.
Wait, what's his? Spmurf. S.P. Murph.
Chunky Lover 53.
Yeah, exactly. So this one is called I Show You.
Oh.
And you go, oh, I show you.
Making friends across the world.
Oh, I show you. So anyway, I show you. It just makes me want to say it that way. I don't know why, because you're excited. And you just go, oh, I show you.
So I show you.
So I show you. Is now to give you background. We in the Pixel Core we use this program called Snaps very very heavily by Ambrosia Software, where it does a screen capture. So you turn it on and you can capture video, and so you can capture all this video and you can click on it and everything else. Now here's the problem with Snaps, and I can say this because I've told them about 200,000 times.
It got an Intel update like not very long,
which still doesn't work on my laptop.
So frustrating.
So anyway, it worked, and then I upgraded to 10.4.8, which is, by the way...
And every time you upgrade it, like, it loses your license, and all of a sudden you start getting the watermark again?
Yeah. So the other thing is that I just have to say, not in defense of Snaps, 10.4.8 is the new 10.2.9. Remember 10.2.9? It really is. I declare 10.4.8 the new 10.2.9, which
is new 6.0.8.
I think it happens. I think it usually happens at the end of a cycle, and it's like Apple's subtle way of, we're going to really mess your computer up so that you upgrade to Leopard. I have not had so many problems with my apps. With all of my apps since I upgraded 10.4.8 as I did when I upgraded to 10.2.9. 10.2.9 was the last like really hell upgrade, you know, where everything got messed up. I couldn't even, I upgraded to 10.4.8. I couldn't even restart my computer. I had to give it back to Alutha and have him do whatever Alutha does. I said, this is my computer's not starting up and you need to do whatever you do to make it. And he brought it back in about an hour and it was working, but I don't know what he did and it wasn't my problem. He reinstalled the patch. I don't know. He did something.
You got probably run the combo updater.
He did. He did the combo
updater.
That's
usually the same. Yeah. And waved the rubber chicken around.
He did. I don't know. Alutha does all this hocus pocus.
And that broke Snaps Pro X for you.
And it still doesn't work. What it'll do is it'll record, and then it'll go into the saving process. But when I get done, there's nothing there.
So you don't find out until, and that's the thing, is it holds it in.
Well, and here's the other thing about snaps that drives me.
Does it make a temp file, or is it all in RAM?
No, it's making a temp file. So it does a .mo thing that it's recording to your desktop or whatever, wherever you're going to save it. It saves one there, and then it reconverts it. So it's capturing it this high resolution, and then it reconverts that to a whatever movie that you choose. Mm-hmm. And here's the difference between this and I show you does the same capture. There's more control over how you capture, and when you hit stop, the movie's there instantly.
Oh man! And when you're on the set, like when we're doing Mac Break,
We wait 20 minutes.
You've had to add other computers because of the amount of time.
That wasn't the only reason. On Mac Break, we did that because part of the reason that we do that is so that that we can have people coming in and setting up while other people are on. So there's two reasons for it.
Sure.
But one of the big reasons is so that we didn't have to wait for snaps to capture. Because the nice thing about using a screen capture program instead of like a DVI to SDI or whatever, or a scan converter, is that you get this crystal clear, really high quality screen grab.
Pixel for pixel.
It's just beautiful. You know, and so anyway, and Snaps was the only one that would capture at 30 frames a second or 15 frames a second or whatever frame a second we wanted, it would capture it. This one I tested today. So I literally just saw it today while I was prepping for the show. I downloaded it and tested like the demo, which has this big green text on it on my laptop, and it worked. And I got so excited. I emailed him and I said, "Can I have an NFR?" An NFR is a not for resale. Mm-hmm. When you're a press person, you do this all the time where you email and you request, you know, I'm from this, and you have to give them your credentials and you say, "Can I have an NFR and to test it?" And you feel bad because this application is like $20, but you still, you know, it's the principle of the thing. you know, I'm not going to, you know. So anyway,
but if it doesn't work, then you're not going to pay him $20.
Well, that's the whole thing.
On the show.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned on the show, that's the pay, you know.
You can't buy them all. That's the problem.
Yeah, you can't, because I have to test so
maybe
many things.
Just $20, but you can't buy everything.
Yeah, I've talked to software companies, you know, when I call them,
love free stuff more than maybe anybody I've ever met. You
I like
genuinely
testing
love
stuff. It's not that I like free stuff. I just don't like paying for everything that I test, you know.
It's like the set of Wheel of Fortune in this place. I got the Dalmatian.
It was so funny. I walked out today and there was these huge boxes from BSW that were here, you know, because we're doing this show on podcasting. And so I had like $10,000 worth of hardware that I have to give it back. I'm just borrowing it, but anyway, it is a little like Christmas here every day. So I sent out a request for an NFR, but I got so excited, I wanted to make sure that I could talk about it or not talk about it on the show. I got so excited I just bought it anyway.
Oh my gosh! Mark your calendars, kids.
I threw that $20 down, and bam, I had it. You know, and anyway, so I got this is a guy out of New Zealand. It's just a program. It's like a shareware kind of thing.
It's $20.
$20.
That's pretty screaming for if it's capturing full screen video. And can you do the option four thing? Can you do like a portion of the screen and the whole nine?
You can do
all the Snaps Pro type stuff.
All the Snaps Pro type stuff and more. You know, and so it has this nice little interface. It's not like you have to decide later. You decide all up ahead of time, and you have all this stuff.
Wow.
So anyway, so I did the test. Now I haven't done Snaps. What I know is that I can capture 30 minutes straight, and nothing will happen. And that's something I haven't tested yet. And so one of the things that I still haven't really gone through yet is you know, how far can I take this? So what the longest capture I've done so far is like a minute or two. But I captured 30 frames a second on a 1920 by 1200 monitor.
Brilliant.
So this is my, you know, 24 inch cinema display.
Wow.
And so I pulled it out 30 frames a second. I'm moving stuff around. I'm talking.
What size was it?
I'm jamming.
How long was it?
It was only like a minute or 30 seconds. It's like 153 megs or something like that. I mean, it gets big quick, but it'll be.
I would have thought it would be bigger than that.
No, it'll be gigabytes when it's done capturing. But here's the thing is that if I had done that, it would have been at least a couple minutes while I waited. It would have been at least 30 seconds to a minute while I was saving, you know, on Snaps. And this one, I hit it and boom, there was the movie. I mean, it was there.
You
know,
I show you.
Unbelievable. I show you.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I'm going to try it.
I show you.
All these links that we're mentioning, are you just writing these down?
No.
No?
No.
Will you remember this?
If you go to Delicious, they're all there. Everything. Here's the thing.
We need a secretary
for this show.
Again.
We need a secretary treasurer
okay,
for the show.
Okay, if you want to be a secretary for the show, email us. No, but literally every link that we've talked about in this show is at Delicious, you know, /tag/
Mac MBW IDs. With the exception of Right Room. Right Room's not in there, but I'll put it in there.
I'll do it right now.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
There you go. That's it. We still don't have a good log off for this show.
Okay, I'm going to break the silence. just because I'm so happy about it. We didn't mention the Zune the entire episode.
You ruined it.
Oh God, I'm so tired of hearing of both sides of the Zune, and I'm really glad that we made it.
You ruined it. We had made
banana.
It all the way through.
Banana, edit that out.
No, see, now we haven't. We can't edit it out.
So now I've ruined our cred.
You've ruined everything's
talk
right.
About it. We just said that it. We didn't talk.
I think we should re-record the whole show.
Let's start over. Okay. Yeah. Well,
here we go. Starting over from the top. Justin,
these are great new mics, Alex. God,
yeah,
these
we got these. These are Heil mics. So we just got them.
Yeah, got listen, I'm going to pass the video camera.
Justin
around,
is yeah. Justin is still a Mac, and he's not going to be not a Mac. We really thought that.
Alex broke federal laws with his FM thing.
Right.
We got new mics. What else do we
No fly list.
No fly list.
Mike Heist is okay. There's a podcast producer. There's podcasts on the flights.
X-Serve thing is pretty cool.
I think that's about it. Podcasting. Well, there we go. It's a shorter show than we started on the first one. Right. So
well, we recorded and we still didn't mention the Zoom in the second.
No. Oh, recursion.
All right. Okay, so this is MacBreak Weekly, and we'll see you next week. I don't know.
Yeah, there we go.
That's still a lame ending.
I miss Scott. We should have said hi to Scott.
Scott's we could ring him in.
Hi, Scott. Hey, Scott. How's it going? It's good to miss you, man.
Where's Scott? Where's Leo? Scott.
None of our
they left us.
Scott, and couldn't even... weren't even here to...
The mature ones were gone.
The grown-ups.
The grown-ups are gone. The grown-ups are gone, and the kids are just playing with the mics.
The grown-up who says that, yeah, I'm just happy with my DVD and my thing and my remote control, and that's all I need, not one more thing.
I don't need one more thing. Back when I was your age,
things were simpler and we were happy. We made belts out of things that we found in the yard.
Like 16mm film.
If you wanted a wig, you had to make it yourself, and that's how it was after the war. And we were happier then because
we grew carrots in the yard.
You had carrots. We didn't even have a yard to build carrots in.
We just ate grass.
We borrowed paper to draw pictures of carrots, and we'd eat the paper. That was our fiber, and we were happy.
Oh, you had paper. We just had to eat the crayons.
Luxury. All right, put a quarter in the Monty Python jar. All right, I'm gonna post this Red Room thing. Hogbay Software. They got a pretty site. Koi Vin, I think, did. Who does subtraction? Did I don't know if he did this design. They had a Drupal site for a while.
I hate Drupal.
Shut up! Drupal rules.
Yeah, it's whatever you can get your head.
I mostly just swear at it.
Drupal. The thing is,
it's good. I just swear. I'm not a web guy.
It was just to say that. Well, if you're like me and you go back to like PHP Nuke, you look at something like Drupal and how each version gets so much better. Yeah, and you just look at the other stuff, just seems like so Jurassic.
But PHP Nuke was really a horrible thing.
Yeah. Was that the beginning? Was that where things forked? Because post-nuke was
post-nuke
was the follow-up.
But both of them were bad. I mean, if you ran that on your server was just going...
Because of SQL, my SQL hits?
Yeah, no, it was just really inefficient.
Badly coded.
Yeah, badly coded. Yeah. And for its time...
I looked at HTML code one time, and I decided I was never going to learn how to do this. And I never have.
Huh. For real?
I did. I was like, someday we're going to look back at this like PostScript. You know, you don't need to write this stuff. I'm not going to learn it. And I just didn't.
Well, that's why iWeb is kind of a cool thing. I mean, you can do a lot with that without ever having to touch.
I don't even do that. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for the next level. I'm waiting for when I just design stuff like it's kind of like iWeb, but one that actually runs fast. And
how would you describe Write Room? I'm saying John Foster's web pick for this week, full screen writing app.
Out of your way, editor. It gets other stuff out of your way, editor.
Okay. Cool. All right, so is that a pretty easy one to edit, you think?
I'm not editing anything. I'm just going to add stuff to the front and the back.